City, Colorado Springs, Colorado. This is the USA Volleyball Show, and here are your hosts, Clarence Hughes and Stephen Munson.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the USA Volleyball Show. We are the official podcast of USA Volleyball, if you forgot that. We hope you're doing well today. Shout out, as always, to my co-host, Stephen, who better be listening in from home as he's finishing up his family leave and being a dad. But for this episode, we would like to welcome back USA Volleyball's very own, who actually just saw a Sunshine Classic, Severin. What's up, Severin? How you doing?
Hey, Clarence. Long time no see. What's going on?
busy, like usual. But we had a good time in Orlando over that first weekend, you know?
We did. A lot of fun hanging out with you events, guys. It was super great.
You want to start with the your own recap of, you know, what you're able to kind of experience in Orlando?
Yeah, Sunshine was fantastic. I was only there for weekend one, I believe. But it's just amazing, the event that USA Volleyball can put on with that many courts, those many teams, that many athletes, and to have everything kind of go off, at least from my perspective, really without a hitch is fantastic. And such great volleyball action, you know, getting to see 17 opens, especially, I know there's a lot of crowd around that court, was super cool. But even all the way down to, you know, age 11, I mean, they're so, you know, together and coordinated even from that young age all the way up, and you get to see the full scope of volleyball and that youth action there. It's really amazing if you can find your way through all the narrow pathways to courts. There were a couple of times I had to bob and weave and get my agility on to be able to make it to all the courts. But no, truly fantastic weekend. And it's nice to, with my experience from prior events, to be able to see kind of this one and kind of know a little bit more of what to expect. And still every time, you know, when you walk into the convention center and you see all the signage, you get really the big feel of everything. So it was an awesome first weekend for me, at least.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think you hit the nail right on the head there. And it's actually good to hear. It seemed so seamless on your end. There were a lot of things happening. They were like, okay, cool. We got to pivot here or move some stuff around here. And, you know, your typical just on-site adjustments there, especially for that first weekend, because we had an entirely different hall set up over on the west side compared to over on the north side. And for those of you who are familiar with the Orlando Convention Center, the Orange County Convention Center in Orlando, that is a massive trek from the North Hall over to the West Hall. But it happened. Competition happened. We gave out bids. We gave out trophies. We gave out awards. Weekend one was the busier weekend. I didn't attend weekend two myself either. But we made it happen. And, you know, we got to hang out in between. You know, we stayed at those Vista K condos together, had some nice dinners, some really conversations. And it was a really successful and productive weekend too. So I am very glad it all happened.
Yeah, first weekend I've ever been in Orlando too. So Orlando as a destination,
first time,
was great. So I'm looking forward to, if there's any Orlando in the future. I know, at least for me, I've got Salt Lake City coming up, and I've been there before. But Orlando was great. Looking forward to Salt Lake as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Salt Lake won't be as hectic as Orlando, but we will have, I believe, close to a record amount of teams in that weekend one of Salt Lake City Showdown. And actually, overall, for Salt Lake City Showdown, kind of following up from last year too. So just want to promote my own event there too. But some good things to expect. And it's going to be a very, very good year for qualifiers as we get into those hosting seasons there too. I'm glad you're going to be there too.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, and I'm hoping that the planning leading up to it, like you're saying, is kind of minimal stress at this point for you. That'd be great.
We'll see. We got some stuff hitting the fan right now. We know what word we usually say there, but we're going to call it stuff for now. So actually, right after this time of recording, I have a few back-to-back meetings to kind of tie some loose ends. Let's just say that, and get that planning process underway. But yeah, Salt Lake will be here before you know it.
Awesome. Well, hope it goes smoothly for you, Clarence. And obviously, before we get into the show, want to remind all our listeners that if you go out and check out the last episode that we had with Justine Wangaranta, so great to have her on. She talked about a lot of stuff, but how she was introduced to the game first off, beach and indoor. Always great to hear that. Her Olympic experience leading up to the Tokyo Games, and then upcoming 2024 U.S. national team season. Can't wait to have Justine back in the gym here in Anaheim. And the new League One volleyball partnership there, and obviously Justine's involvement there too with League One. So much more in that episode. Always great to talk to Justine, and definitely recommend you go check that out. It's out now on all your podcast platforms. You can watch the video episode on YouTube and the USA Volleyball website. So watch, listen, either one, whatever you got time for. if you watch it though, you get to see us in our great faces. So, I mean, always plug the watch version on YouTube or the USA Volleyball website. But so many great parts of this podcast. Now it's time for my favorite, maybe one of the best segments in all of podcasting, the news with Hughes.
Stop the cap, Severin. I'm kidding. Pro Volleyball Federation's inaugural season is underway. They'll do some really fun matches to watch. I'm personally glad that, again, pro volleyball is here in the United States and it's streaming for free. Like we mentioned, weekly matches streaming again for free. See some of our national team athletes compete, like Kendall White or friend of the pod, Morgan Hintz. Tune in so you don't miss any of the action over there. Love having even more pro volleyball in the U.S. and soon we'll be able to watch it all year long. As a reminder, the 2024 Boys Junior National Championship registration, girls 18s, GJNC 11 through 13s, GJNC 14 through 17s, and our Open National Championship for adults, along with our Beach National registration, are all open. Plenty of sports, plenty of national championships to attend, and best of luck to all teams that are currently registered and attending and have their bids and all that good stuff. But you can register for all these events so you don't miss your chance to become the next national champion. And also my boys team, my 16s team, will be going over to Boys Junior Nationals this year in Dallas. So I cannot wait to be able to coach them over that weekend. So wish us the best of luck there. Shout out to the Edge 16 National. Registration is also open for two Beach National Team trials. Visit our website to sign up for your chance to represent the United States at either the Beach U19 World Championship or the Beach World University Championship. We're not done yet. Tickets are available for the USA Volleyball Hall of Fame happening May 22nd in Columbus, Ohio. You can join USA Volleyball as we celebrate all-time greats such as Kathy DeBoer, Carl McGowan, Dane Blanton, Robin Amo, and another friend of the pod, Reed Pretty. Tickets are available on our website, usavolleyball.org. Moving on to a big congratulations to friend of the pod, Kelly Chang, and her partner, which is actually today's guest and soon to be friend of the pod, Sarah Hughes, for winning bronze medal in the first tournament of the 2024 season at the FIVB Beach Pro Tour Elite 16 Doha. We're almost there, guys. We're almost there. I'm done talking for a little bit. Another big congratulations to James Shaw and Jordan Hoppe for winning gold at the Beach Pro Tour Futures in Mount Mangere in New Zealand. What a destination to be able to compete in. The bronze went to Cody Caldwell and Jake Uretia. And for the women, Elena Chacon and Mariah Whalen, who won bronze. Follow along all the action on USA Volleyball social media platforms. And for all on the latest news, make sure you visit usavolleyball.org. Actually, Severin, would you like to introduce today's host?
Yeah, today's guest. We're going to sit down with world champion. Yeah, we talked to a world champion. It's pretty cool. Sarah Hughes. Sarah shares with us about the season going into the Olympic year.
She talked about.
Total
bad joke. I know.
It's one of the best connections that we started the show with too. So, she talks about how she was introduced to the game playing with Justine, who we mentioned as last week's guest. So you see how we do that? We put them back to back with that connection there. And obviously partnering back up with Kelly Chang, which was so cool when that partnership kind of reformed there and talked about her and Kelly partnering with NBC to hype up the Olympics. Some of those commercials already come out. My mom even's like, hey, I saw Kelly and Sarah on the NBC commercial the other day. So, even line dancing. So we don't even just talk about the Olympics and prepping for the Olympics. Sarah talked about her love of line dancing as well. So much more. That's enough blabbing from us. And let's get to Sarah.
So we know Paris is right around the corner, a lot of buzz around that. But we also know that you and Kelly Chang have been doing a ton of media. You were recently in L.A. for a photo shoot with NBC and USLPC. Can you talk us through how that was?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. The NBC shoot was incredible. We're actually partnered up with NBC and their 40th program for athletes. So we've been able to do some really fun stuff with them. And it was surreal going into that area. So that means Severin, you saw, there was just so much going on, the set and the stages they had for all the athletes. And it was just a really special moment. I've never been able to do something like that before. And met a lot of great athletes, a lot of great people, and just really got you excited for Paris 2024.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sarah, the stages and everything were cool, but come on, let's get to what we really want to talk about. Peppering with Snoop was like the coolest thing I've ever seen. And not only that, I mean, he's got some skills, I think. I mean, what was that whole thing like?
Meeting Snoop Dogg was just the highlight. When we found out that there was a possibility that we could meet him, we were like, yes, we will stay late, whatever you want us to do. And just generally, he's such a nice human being. We went in, and of course there was some stuff like maybe that was scripted that he was supposed to say, but we just went in and he had an honest conversation with us, and he was so excited about beach volleyball. I think that like might be one of his number one sports to watch at the Olympics. Or maybe even commentate. We'll see. But yeah, I brought my volleyball because I was like, you know what? There might be a chance Snoop wants to play, and brought it out, just threw it up in the air, and he started playing great. And it was incredible. And even ended it with like a big giant spike. So Snoop has some volleyball skills.
You guys got to invite him out to a practice, maybe get him to be a dog partner or something. That, yeah.
I agree. I mean, I have an offer. I was like, hey, you want to be of our assistant coaches for Paris? And he was like, sign me up.
Be the most entertaining coach you ever had. Fun fact, you're also exactly. from my hometown, Long Beach. So it's always good to see a hometown favorite there. But such a great guy, you know, like how he is so in front of people on camera. He's like that off camera, too.
Yeah, no, he's really cool. I was also born in Long Beach, so, you know, we all got to represent. LBC. LBC, yeah.
All right, so let's talk about a little bit about your, like, hobbies and such. We hear you are a big country music fan. Is that true?
Yes, that is very true. I love country music. My mom got me hooked on country when I was, in high school.
Yeah. Who are some of your favorite artists?
Oh, that's such a tough question.
How about right now?
Yeah, I would say like top two right now. I mean, you have to love Morgan Wallen. I love Morgan Wallen, and I've been listening to a lot of Zach Bryan lately. So those two are just always on repeat.
Mm-hmm. All right, what are the top songs in the rotation then? Which Morgan Wallen songs or Bryan songs are you listening
yes.
to?
I would say like Morgan Wallen, probably anything from like his double album that's called Dangerous. Somebody's Problems, one of my favorite songs, and then Something in the Orange by Zach Bryan is really good.
I can tell your day list is probably full of country songs then, huh? With Spotify.
Yes, a lot of country. I'm a little all over the place with music. I can really go from one genre to the next, but I would have to say a favorite is definitely country.
Mm-hmm. Are you a big line dancer as well?
I am. Admittedly, I haven't done it in a while, just because it's hard to get out there with all the training and stuff. But my roommate, who's one of my best friends, like, we'll just put on and learn a dance and like be dancing in the living room. So I got to get better. I got to learn more dances. But like, I'm definitely not afraid to get out there on the dance floor and line dance or two step, whatever. It's so much fun. So I really enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. How tough is it to pick up? Like, can you pick it up in maybe a day, a couple hours, or you have to really study at it to be good?
No, you can pick it up like on the spot. Like if you go to a country line dancing place, usually if you hear a song and you look at the people who know what they're doing. I mean, it repeats itself over and over again. So if you watch and you just kind of get out there, you might make a fool out of yourself in the beginning, but you can honestly pick
that's
it up.
That's the fun of it, song. You know?
Yeah, that's so fun. It's just like go out there, have fun, do something different. A little bit different than volleyball. So I really enjoy it. I'll teach you one.
I've got to learn. I'm ready to go. Honestly, there's some in Long Beach.
I would say Long Beach. Yeah. There's one in Anaheim called. Yeah. A couple in Long Beach. So there's one. The Ranch. Ooh, what's it called? The Ranch. Yep. The Ranch.
Wait, tell me about that. I haven't been yet. Yeah.
So the Ranch is fun. Like all the Disney dancers go and they're just like the best dancers ever. So they love teaching people all the new line dances. So it's great. Mm. The Ranch Saloon, amazing line dance spot. Shout out to the Ranch.
All All right, Sarah, we've asked you about some stuff away from volleyball, but now to kind of shift it back towards volleyball, could you tell us how you were introduced to the sport and your first early involvement from it with it at a young age?
Yeah, of course. I'm the youngest. I have two older siblings, my older sister and brother, and they were involved in volleyball. They played club indoor. So I was introduced from it like at a really young age, being the youngest, like getting dragged to all the practices, all the tournaments. And not only that, my mom really liked to play volleyball as well. So, you know, when we were bored, my mom would grab a ball and we'd like pepper on the sidelines. And kind of a long story short, one of my sister's teammates, her mom was like, oh, wow, she's got great ball control for her age. I know a coach in Huntington Beach who loves to train young girls and boys that, you know, he just wants to train them and teach them how to play beach volleyball. And so my mom got his number, called him up. And then, you know, a week later, I was at the beach trying out for this coach. And pretty much the rest is history after that. They were Bill Lovelace and he coached me for free since I was 8 years old. So I started playing beach when I was 8 years old and then just played in every tournament over the summer and just kind of continued it on. And like, honestly, I remember the first time I stepped on the court and I was like, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. And since then, like nothing, you know, has stopped that dream. And here I am today.
Mm-hmm. What about the game drew you? Like, you know, you said, you know, from the moment you stepped on the court, you just kind of knew, but you know, is there anything specific you remember about, you know, beach volleyball specifically, that's just like, this is it. This is going to be it for as long as possible.
Yeah. I just think it was like a combination of a couple different things. Just like one, the environment of beach volleyball is so special. Obviously you're outside, you're on the beach, and like growing up in Southern California, the beach is my home. And you know, being introduced to like the right people at the right time, like everyone was just so passionate about the sport. I love the energy. I met some of my best friends through the sport, but ultimately like how dynamic and athletic you have to be to play beach volleyball, is really fun to me. And then not only that, it's only you and one other person out there. So you're always touching the ball. You're always playing, you always have a big impact within the team. So I like that aspect where it's just like you and a partner out there, like taking on the world together. I think that's really special. And something I think I really liked when I was young and I like to this day.
One of your partners, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, was Justine Wong Arantes when it was kind of back in the day with you two, which is such a cool pair. Can you talk a little bit about how that partnership was like and your friendship and partnership with Justine?
Of course. Yes. Justine, she was my first ever beach volleyball partner. So that coach that I told you about connected Justine and I, and when we were 8 years old, we played in literally every tournament together. She's one of my best friends to this day. She was asking to be a bridesmaid in her wedding. So we just loved playing together, and we still we had to play from like 8 years old to probably like 15 years old. And then she took more of the indoor route. But I just like will never forget those memories with Justine. We even like went to a couple USA World Championships, like U19 together, and love her. And what she's been doing on the indoor team is incredible. So she always has my support and she's one of my best friends.
Yeah. Do you two get a chance to, you know, catch up and connect in person a lot? I know your schedules are kind of, I don't want to say polar opposite, you know, but, you know, beach is, you know, totally different than when in the indoor season is. So how does that kind of work?
Yeah, out? You know, it is tough, especially usually she is across the country playing in a different place. But we were just texting a couple of days ago about her wedding. Any chance I can get, I love to watch or stream her games when she's playing. And then anytime she's in town, and luckily, hopefully we're in town at the same time, we usually get together and get lunch or go see each other's families. So we've remained really close to this day.
you mentioned sort of how you both kind of took different paths with Justine going to indoor and then you obviously with beach. How was that introduction with you specifically with the beach national team and getting involved there and kind of taking the next step to obviously that really high level?
Yeah. So for as long as I can remember, like beach was always at the forefront of what I love to do. And then, you know, around, I think 10 years old, I went to play club. So I was doing a little bit of both. And then obviously like within club and indoor, there's like a huge USA push. Like there's a lot of, you know, camps, tryouts, high performance. And so I think my mom was always kind of looking for like, oh, is there a beach route? And luckily, like at the time I was young, like the beach program actually just kind of started. So I was on like the first ever U17 high performance beach team. And I think I was like 15 years old, 14 years old, maybe. But that was like the youngest team I had at the time. So yeah, I was, like I said, I was there from the very beginning. And I was, you know, always been a big supporter of USA Beach Volleyball, and to see the sport grow into what it is today and to see how much the program has grown from where it started is absolutely incredible. And I'm like honored to be, you know, one of the first athletes that started and is still in the program.
Mm-hmm. I mean, definitely seems it's all, you know, just kind of falling into place and, you know, kind of circling back onto this year. Well, looking ahead, actually. And, you know, actually speaking of circling back, I mean, you also partnered not only with, you know, Justine Wong, but earlier on in your career with Kelly Chang now, too. Now that you kind of repartnered together, but, you know, you both played in U19 and U21 World Championship and, you know, won bronze in that. You both played PUSC, winning, back to back national championships at a time, and then three more on top of that, and you know, a lot of winning over there at USC. So can you just kind of talk about maybe that experience there and also what it's like being back together with Kelly?
Yeah, oh my gosh, it's been such a journey with Kelly, and I am really, really happy to be back on the court with her. We actually met and started playing together late high school, which is really cool. And, you know, like you said, we went to some U19 world championships and then world university games together. And I think something special Kelly and I had right away is like when we stepped on the court together, it was like an instant connection. And we were really just like easy, like we could flow together and we got along great in person. And so that transitioned into college and, you know, committing to USC. I had committed to SC, and Kelly was actually verbally committed to go to Long Beach State, or was like thinking about going to Long Beach State to play indoor. And then I was like, hey, Kelly, like, don't forget about beach volleyball over here. And I think once we started traveling to those trips, like she made the decision that she really wanted to play beach. And then I kind of was like, well, maybe you come check out USC. And she fell in love with USC, and we got to do something really, really special with that program. And like the deep history within collegiate beach volleyball, it's, you know, kind of like the USA development teams at a young age. Like we helped develop beach volleyball in college, and like that was a big mission for us. And we won a lot there, and we were very successful. And to now see the program where it is today is incredible. But yeah, then anyway, you know, Kelly and I took a little break, just grew up, matured, got better as players, and now we are officially back together. And like I couldn't be happier playing with Kelly, and we've got such a great relationship, and what we're trying to do on the court together I think is really special. And I'm really looking forward to 2024 and, you know, working hard to see our dreams come true.
Sarah, I know you get asked this a lot, you know, when it's all the questions about your partner and you two both on and off the court. But one more time, I'd love to know kind of what your favorite thing about Kelly is both on and off the court. I know sometimes it's tough to boil it down to just one thing, but if you had to, what would they be?
Yeah, I think that, you know, the big thing about Kelly that I would say is one of my favorite things is like just how, you know, like how passionate she is for the sport. I think we're a big team that like, we both love to be like keep getting better and to push the boundaries of the sport. And then Kelly really like embodies that and wants that and like wants to make a difference within the sport and be at the very top doing it. So I think, you know, seeing her with that passion and me matching that energy and that passion is just, it's really special. And it's just fun. It's like when you can go and this is your job and this is your work, and to go into an environment where it's like, hey, we're out here to get better every day is really special, because I'm not sure everyone has that mentality. And I think that's something between the two of us that really clicks and like shows on the court as well.
What made you two find your way back to each other with repartnering?
Yeah, I mean, beach volleyball is a crazy world in which where you have to find partners to play with on the court. You know, you break up with somebody, you make up, you play with somebody else. But for Kelly and I, like, I think it was just time. And we were obviously, you know, playing with other partners at the time that we really respected and we really enjoyed playing with. But, you know, when Kelly and I got together and we kind of just sat down and talked through a lot because we hadn't played in a while, and to see who she was, who I was, and what we wanted and our dreams, everything aligned. And, you know, like for me, it was just that gut feeling, and it was like in my heart, and I got goosebumps when we met. I was like, this is it. Like, we're meant to do this together. And I think it was the best decision each of us has ever made. And it's been fun, and we're looking forward to a whole lot more.
Do you feel like you both are kind of the same partners that you were at USC, or is that partnership almost evolved to where you are now, where there are different new aspects to it?
Oh, I think we've evolved so much. And I think that was the whole point of, you know, taking a little break. It's because when you're so young and you're playing something, it's just like, sometimes it just takes time to develop who you are, develop your volleyball game, develop as a person. And so I think a lot of what we have from USC is within our partnership, like our friendship, how much we get along, our chemistry. But now it's just like taking on a whole new level of who we are and who we've grown into, and how we can bring that now into our partnership and into our relationship. And it's just been special, like sharing our lives and what we want and our goals, and just kind of growing up together is pretty cool.
What are some things that you tell me? Clearly, I mean, you have a very deep rooted partnership, a connection there, and then just kind of, you know, moving forward to maintain and strengthen that. What are some things that you two do to just, you know, stay in sync and, you know, keep the bond strong?
Yeah, I mean, especially within beach volleyball, it's like Kelly and I are spending almost like 24/7 together. You know, we're practicing, we're on the same plane, we're sharing hotel rooms. So just think, like, you get to know each other on such a deep level and like really develop a special friendship. But I think something like special that Kelly and I do is just, you always check in on each other. Like, actually yesterday we practiced and we had plans to like go grab lunch at, you know, a place called Jan's. And I was like, let's just grab lunch. Yes, we have some things on the schedule we need to talk about. But then like at the end, you know, Kelly's just like, how are you doing? And then I asked, how are you doing? And we really care about each other, and we care what's going on in each other's lives. So I think it's not like, yes, it's business and it's a part and like we're on the court together and we want to win, but like we have to care for each other. And I think with Kelly and I, it's a respect of like, I know that she's doing everything she needs to do to be the best person on the court. And she knows that I'm doing the same exact thing. So just like knowing that and trusting that within each other, and then just checking in and simply caring, or whether it's just we did a girls' day or we just went to lunch. Like, there's a few different things you can do, but I really enjoy just being with her in general.
Sarah, just you know, the structure and the systems in place with playing indoor and then a transition to beach. What was it like kind of making that initial switch and that initial transition? Is it tough? We hear that it is sometimes, but how was your perspective on that?
Yeah, I would say I might have a little different perspective, only because I actually started playing beach volleyball first. And then, you know, a couple of years later, I went into the indoor game. So I was really used to like bouncing between the two. But I mean, I think, you know, a lot of indoor girls, you see it now, like to maybe do a fifth year on the beach team in college, or just in general, like want to make the switch to professional beach volleyball from indoor. And I think like the hardest thing is like, indoor is very specialized. Like you have a setter, outside, libero, you know, like in within beach, like you have to know how to do everything. Like you can't just be in middle, like you have to pass that hit. So I think like overall, just like channeling and having like a wide range of skill sets for beach is really important. And then I think, you know, for indoor players, they eventually pick that up, but like that transition can be hard and it can be frustrating. And then obviously you only got one other person on the court. And then all of a sudden, one of my good friends is just trying to start that transition. And she had her first windy practice and she was like, I've been humbled by beach volleyball. So the elements can be tough as well. But overall, you know, if you really have the dedication, like you truly can make that, you know, switch to beach if you want to.
Do you have any, let's just say, maybe extracurricular advice to someone that is transitioning from, you know, beach to the indoor side of things? I know we hear a lot about the indoor to beach, but what about the, you know, the opposite?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't played indoor in quite some time, but, you know, I think like it's just important to figure out like what, you know, your skill set is if you're going to, you know, go back to indoor and like what you want to do. If it's setting or, you know, libero, I think it's just getting those reps, you know, getting used to the hard court again, and like developing a bond with your teammates. That's just not one other person, you know, indoor, you got a big team around you and maybe that can be overwhelming at times, but, I think it just takes time, honestly, just to get that, to get used to it and make transitions like that. But it's like, I truly believe like if you put your mind to it and it's something you're passionate about, something you want, you can achieve it.
All right, let's talk some of the fun stuff. Paris, it looks so cool. The mock-ups with the beach courts under the Eiffel Tower. It's so cool. It's so exciting. Sarah, what would it mean to you to be one of the top USA teams competing at the Paris Olympics?
I truly don't think I can put in the words how much it would mean to me. Like I said earlier before, that little 8-year-old girl just wanted nothing more than to play beach volleyball and to play for her country and represent Team USA. And there hasn't been a memory or a thought in my mind that I've never not wanted to go to the Olympic Games. And so being an Olympic year and being, you know, one of those top USA teams and a top team in the world, it's really surreal, but it's just all the hard work and dedication coming together. And to be potentially be part of an Olympics that is so big and prominent in like our sport of beach volleyball, is the premier sport. Like, how could you not want to play under the Eiffel Tower representing Team USA? Like, it's just, it would just be a dream come true. And there's nothing I want more. Is to be there and to be fighting for a chance to win the gold medal for Team USA.
I mean, just kind of highlighting the 2023 season that you and Kelly had. I mean, you had some amazing showings on both the, you know, FIVB side and the ABP side as well. I mean, you both won, you know, World Championship, which is amazing. Can you talk about your experience, you know, overall?
Just, you know, partnering with Kelly for a full year was just so fun to see like what we can do in such a short amount of time. Just because Kelly and I partnered up and we didn't really have much of a training block. We might have practiced for a week and a half and then we entered into our first tournament. And it was, you know, all the work we put in, especially at the time, like there's a lot of highs and there was a lot of lows. But overall, last year was okay. What is our main goal? It's to peak at World Championships in Mexico, to have a great chance, like bring home a World Championship and to establish ourselves as one of the top teams in the world. And it was surreal. Bringing home a World Championship It had been 14 years since it happened on the beach side. Somebody else, Team USA winning. So to bring it back to USA and to have that moment with Kelly and our coaches and our family is something I'll never forget. And it was a dream come true to say that we're world champions.
Do you have a favorite memory from the 2023 season, maybe outside of the world championships?
Ooh, all right, the tough question. Favorite memory. I think like it's always like the little things. So I think, you know, some of my favorite memories are having, you know, Kelly, our co-coaches, Jordan Chang and Gustavo, together, like going out to dinner in a place like Mexico and finding or wherever we are in the world and finding like really good food and like sitting at the table and talking for hours just because we're having fun and we're enjoying each other. So I just think like little moments like that, or after winning world, like going out to dinner and having fun and like it kind of being a ghost town because it was Sunday, and like going on stage and like dancing together and listening to music. Just those like core memories that will be hard to forget.
Would you like to talk about like a little bit of the lows that you mentioned? I mean, throughout your season, I mean, you know, from the outside looking in, it's really hard to even notice that. I mean, with you two playing at such a high caliber and, you know, winning, you know, how do you persevere through those? And, you know, I know it's different for every pair, but, you know, clearly everything worked out for the better. But do you mind talking about a little bit of that and, you know, how you kind of work through those?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, from outside perspective, it's always hard to know what's like really going on. And for Kelly and I, it was a really successful season. It was the most successful season we've ever had, like individually, then of course as a team. But I think we, you know, put a lot of pressure on ourselves, and we have such, you know, high demands of what we want. Like even getting a fifth place, like we got a lot of fifth place finishes this year, and to any other team in the world, they're cheering that they brought home a fifth place result. But we just know what we want so bad, and we know we could be at the top. So I think like taking those losses, or just, you know, a particular match where we knew we should have won and we lost, you know, we just like the best thing about Kelly and I think is like, yes, we're really, really hard on ourselves. But like when we come together, it's very just like, hey, it wasn't on you. It wasn't on me. Like this was a team. This is a team. We win together. We lose together. So like in those moments of the lows, it's like, I think we do a really good job of still coming together and like talking it out. And yeah, was there times this season where we were in the lobby of a hotel, like crying to each other because we were just sad and we wanted to win so bad and we didn't? Yeah, but like ultimately we don't blame each other, and we come together and like we gave each other a big hug afterwards, and we said, hey, like there's nobody else I want to do this with. So I think those, as hard as those moments are, it just makes us so much stronger as a team. But I think every athlete experiences it. Like when you lose, it could feel like the world is ending sometimes. But we know what we want, and we know that the only way you learn is to lose sometimes. And I think the important thing that we do is we really look at those losses and we're like, we learn from them. And then the next time, like we won't make those mistakes again.
Sarah, to follow up on Clarence's question there and love kind of the track that you're talking about, can you share a little bit about the recent time that you and Kelly spent in Chula Vista, where it sounded like you were kind of working on some of the mental things in preparation for this new season?
Yeah, no, of course. So like you mentioned, we went to the Olympic Training Center in Chula Vista. You know, USAV was really helpful with, you know, providing us resources to get there. And it was such a good way to start off the season. Just away from everything. If I'm not sure a lot of people have been there, but it's kind of out in the middle of nowhere. But it's this beautiful facility that any athlete can just dream of going to. And so we really took the time to go out there and just decompress. And We had what we called a lot of like whiteboard sessions. So yes, we trained a little bit on the sand, but it was such mental preparation and writing down mission statements, writing down our goals, what we want to leave behind, what we want to move forward with. So yeah, it got personal and it got deep. And like at the end of it, we were mentally exhausted, but what a way to like start a journey together and especially in such a big year. So I'm really grateful for our coach for doing that and for Kelly and I taking the time to like really like push forward and to see what we need to get better at. And in doing so, like this couple past weeks of training have been like monstrous to our team. Like it's incredible seeing like what we're doing right now. And just being focused and being on the same page it's really special and it's been really fun. So Chula Vista played a huge role in doing that.
It's not a bad place to get deep and visualize with those mountains behind you, right? On the sand courts.
Oh my gosh. It's perfect. Yeah. We got like beautiful mountains, the perfect court, like the best food court. Like it was like so many great resources. So I'm grateful we were able to do that.
How important is mental training? It could be related to sport, the sport of volleyball, sports in general, or, you know, just overall in life. I mean, can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that plays a huge role. Athletics are just, like you said, non-athletic, normal life in any random day. Like like USA provides sports psych if you want it. I actually work with a sports performance coach and meet with him, you know, maybe a couple times a month. And it's just good to like talk about what, like I said before, like as athletes, we hold ourselves to such high standards that sometimes it's just like hard when things aren't going your way. But like looking like a big thing for me this year is just staying present and staying in the moment and not thinking about the next play or the play that just happened beforehand of like just going out there being aggressive. I think it's really important. It might be more important for some specific athletes, like me meeting with my sports performance coach, like, you know, 3 to 4 times a month, like is a really good balance for me. But I think it's important for everyone to like figure out what they need to do for themselves. And if it's twice a week, that's great, you know, but I think it is important for every athlete to at least like maybe venture into that side of the world if they want to. But yeah, for me, it's been really fun kind of navigating that with a sports performance coach. And I think he's helped elevate my game a lot.
We're talking about you both kind of getting back into the training swing of things after probably a brief off season for you both, since you're, you know, doing so much media, it seems like, and you know, probably not getting a lot of breaks. But how important is the time that you can take away to spend with your family and hoping you got to do some of that recently? But how important is that for you?
That is everything for me. I am really so grateful because I have an amazing family and they are my resource. Like they are my outlet. Also lucky enough to train in California and my family, you know, I grew up, my family still lives here. So also at least once a week, I'm down getting dinner with my parents because I spend the night because we train in Huntington Beach one day a week. And so I don't have to do an early drive in the morning. I stay with my parents. And it's just refreshing. And like even, you know, asking for advice or like my brother played volleyball. Sometimes I ask for his opinions and it's just really nice, like having those voices just to be there and knowing that my family, no matter what happens, they love me and they just want the best for me. And they're my number one for sure with support system. And I don't know what I would do without them.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any nieces and nephews?
Oh, yes, I do. My older sister, she has 2 sons. So I have 2 nephews. And then my brother and my sister-in-law are expecting a baby girl. Could be any day now. She's due within like the next week and a half. So I'll have one close by. And I am there. Being an aunt is like my favorite job in the world. I love hanging out and playing with those little nephews and soon to be niece. So I'm so grateful to have them and will babysit anytime.
Are you getting them started on volleyball early, or are they more to the Transformers phase of things?
Oh,
or
what's Auntie
Sarah? Maybe dinosaurs.
Yeah.
No, Auntie Sarah, they kind of understand, like, kind of starting to understand what I do. And my oldest nephew, Jake, I think, like, really believes I live at the beach, which is pretty funny. So, like, you always say, Auntie Sarah, beach. So, like, but we do volleyball hands, and they're learning how to play, and they love it. But they'll find their own sport and what they love to do. But I will definitely be there to be their coach for volleyball.
You get to spend any holiday time with your family at all?
Oh, I did. Yeah. So, like I said, most of my family lives here. My sister does live back east, but she was in town for 2.5 weeks, and I spent every moment of the holiday time, the off season, with them that I could. So it was just a nice break from such a long season, and so refreshing, and a lot of family dinners, and I wouldn't want it any other way.
What's the go-to family dinner meal? If you go over to your parents, are they making your food still, or are they making a good meal? What does that have to be?
Oh, I'm spoiled when I go over there. My mom's like, oh, what do you want me to make? My mom is such a good cook. She bakes, she can do it all. But lately, like, our go-to meal is like tri-tip steak, roasted veggies, a salad. My mom is like really big into making homemade bread right now. So maybe some garlic bread on the side. That's like the go-to. I will eat that every day.
Wow. Just right in time for dinner time. I'm starving now.
I know, right?
Well, Sarah, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us. And it was so great to talk to you and you kind of hear about your whole process, the off season, everything. It's been great to talk to you. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me and having these discussions. It was really fun.
Thank you, Sarah.
Yeah, of course. Thank you.
Awesome. See ya.
All right. Bye, you guys.
Bye.
Great stuff from Sarah there. Clarence, I'm always fascinated to hear about the mindset of athletes that are competing at that kind of level and how they're able to kind of flip the switch to either be, you know, completely on or to come off and then have kind of some downtime to themselves and refocus. And I think Sarah and Kelly both have been so good at that, both last year and this year, obviously with the pressure of the Olympics looming. But just great to kind of talk to Sarah and see how kind of natural and relaxed she can be, even with some of the pressure coming up. But I just loved all of that. But what was some of your key takeaways from the interview?
I just kind of want to touch on that too. Like, the coach and me just really loved to hear her really break that down and really explain the importance of it. I mean, there's always a need to be able to flip the switch, right? Always have to flip the switch on and to be able to compete at the highest level in what, these two are able to compete at, and not only compete at, but win, and, you know, just take that to new heights is just something that you really start to try to teach athletes at a younger level, whether it's club volleyball, we're talking sand, whatever it is, to across every sport there. So I really just want to talk about how I appreciate the importance of that. And there's just so many variations of what that looks like for a beach pair, for an indoor sixes team. Are we talking boys versus girls? Like, it's just like so different across the board. So I just really appreciate that specific part of things there. And also just, you know, love to line dance too on a more lighter note there. Love to just talk about those fun things. And I actually just personally went line dancing recently too and had a good time there too. Messed my foot up just because of volleyball injury, but hey, you know, didn't let that stop me. some really good conversations there too. And Sarah's an amazing guest. I really cannot wait for her to be a guest of the podcast and welcome her back to just continue more conversations and keep it rolling, especially as their season progresses, which is already starting off on a really good note. And, you know, the sky is literally the limit for these two.
Yeah, absolutely. With the bronze in Doha, definitely. I have so many questions about line dancing in the U.S. or like how it's done. But I'm wondering for you, like, were you still in sneakers? You go out and get some cowboy boots for it? Like, how does that even work?
I'm still in sneakers. I'll be the guy on a dance floor with a pair of Jordans on or whatever it is. But it's just fun, you know. Yeah, I seen some professional two-steppers out there that are flipping people. I saw somebody throw somebody on the ceiling and they jump back. I'm just kidding. It wasn't like that. But I mean, it's very interesting. And there's plenty of places in the Anaheim area where you actually be able to go line dead, especially in Long Beach too. So I still owe you that list of all those places where you need to visit. And I have it going on my phone. I didn't forget. Trust me. I'm just nailing some places down. Need to refresh the memory and then sending that text off to you for all those places.
You've got a line dancing place on there. I'll have to check that out. I can dust off my cowboy boots from somewhere in my closet.
You'll have three.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
I got you. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you again to Sarah for that awesome interview. Now let's shift over to look at some of our upcoming events. We'll start off with the Mideast Girls National Qualifier Weekend 2 happening in St. Louis on March 22nd through 24th. Then we have the Music City Girls 18s National Qualifier in New Orleans, also March 22nd to 24th. The Northern Lights Girls National Qualifier Weekend 2 for that one in Minneapolis, March 22nd to 24th. Then it's the SCVA Red Rock Rave Girls National Qualifier. Say that one 10 times fast. Weekend 1 in Las Vegas, also March 22nd through 24th. Then there's the Pacific Northwest Girls 18s National Qualifier Weekend 1 in Spokane, March 23rd to 25th. The Big South Girls National Qualifier in Atlanta, March 29th through 31st. Ooh, and the Northeast... I know the Northeast Girls National Qualifier Weekend 2 in National Harbor, Maryland, March 29th through 31st as well. Then the Pacific Northwest Girls Qualifier in Chicago, March 29th through 31st. And the SCVA Red Rock Rave Girls National Qualifier Weekend 2 in Las Vegas, March 30th through April 1st. Those are a lot of events I just threw at you. If you forgot one of them, scroll back and see them, or you can visit our USA Volleyball website. Check out the calendar. We've got all of them there for you in case you missed one, want to double check those dates, anything like that. So looking forward to all of those. Make sure you sign up as well. Good luck to all those athletes and clubs competing. More details on the upcoming events, as I mentioned, can be found at usavolleyball.org. It's definitely event season, Clarence.
It is event season, but it is also pro event season. Let's talk about some things happening on the pro side of things. Up first, we have the Beach Pro Tour Futures Coolangatta Beach going on now through March 24th in Australia. After that, or actually up next, excuse me, we have the Beach Pro Tour Challenge Recife, Brazil, happening March 21st through the 24th. After that, we have the Beach Pro Tour Challenge Sakurima, Brazil, happening March 28th through the 34 days in March, guys. The 31st, excuse me there. Up next after that, we have the 2024 World Paravolley Men's Final Paralympic Qualifier in China, April 1st through the 10th. Tune in to usavolleyball.org for streaming details. After that, we have another Beach Pro Tour, Beach Pro Tour Futures Tahiti, men only, happening April 2nd through the 6th. I have to be in Salt Lake during that time, but I think a trip to Tahiti would be a little better, you know, a little vacation action there. But good luck to all those teams competing and safe travels to all of your destinations. Make sure you check out usavolleyball.org for men's and women's national team updates from their respective pro leagues. Remember, listeners, you guys can rate, review, and share this podcast with your friends, families, and teammates. It really, 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 really helps this podcast grow and reach new listeners like always. And like Severin said above, you can check out our video episodes. Got to always plug those on YouTube and on our website. We thank you all for your continued support of the podcast. If you know of a club that should be featured, wow, too many futures above, that should be featured, or a story that you'd like us to share, you can email us at the USAV show at usav.org. Leave us feedback. Let us know how we're doing. And any other future topics that you want to hear about, let us know. New episodes drop every other week. And until then, thank you all for listening to another episode of the USA Volleyball Show. We are the podcast, yes, the official podcast of USA Volleyball. USA Volleyball.
This has been the USA Volleyball Show with Clarence Hughes and Stephen Munson. It's produced by Curtis Ward. Our content producer is Laura Fawcett. Our marketing lead is Bree Jaycox. If you enjoyed this podcast,